The Money Show.
Small Business.
Pavlo Fatidis with Small Business this evening. Pavlo Fatidis is the founder at Auric Business Accelerator. You want to codify the business value proposition. And I'd like, before you do that, to translate that into a language that I understand. Pavlo, codify, I understand. Customer, I understand. Value, I understand. Proposition, I understand. But put them together and I'm afraid it's Greek, but you know Greek.
A little bit, not much, but you know, perhaps enough to help you, Bruce, with your challenge. Codifying customer value proposition. So in the last week or so, I've had a number of engagements, session-based engagements with business owners. And the big issues, there are a number of issues that really are challenges that they're facing coming back into the economy. And of course, we've got the regular challenges. We've got uncertainty. We've got recalcitrant landlords who are struggling themselves to figure out what they should do, what they shouldn't do. We've got issues with people. We've got issues with funding. We've got issues with customers. But one of the most complicated issues is a recognition that what led to our success as businesses pre the COVID lockdown, that habits, who we were serving, how we were serving them, the way that our teams work, the way that everything worked, is not what is working now that people have come back into the economy. And one of the big questions that arises is we've stepped into this new economy. It's different to what we knew before. Things have changed, but how do I make my business relevant? How do I, in offering the service or products that I have, change them to make it relevant? And that's where the approach to resetting your entire business comes from. A significant piece of getting that right is codifying the changes that your customers demonstrate in this new environment compared to what they had and did pre this environment. That's the big challenge we need to fix tonight.
Explain that to me, please, because, I mean, if you're feeling chaotic and out of control, or concerned that you will be chaotic and out of control, you can bet your bottom dollar that your customers are feeling the same as well, surely. And you can't go changing to suit their today's whim as they sort of navigate through their new normal as well. You've kind of got to wait for things to settle down, don't you? Or how do you cope with their uncertainties?
You know, Bruce, the waiting for things to settle down is a completely lost opportunity. And I'll tell you why I believe it so. Firstly, what we are not clear on is when things settle down, what will they look like? So I think 70% of what we knew before will remain in play, probably from around, let's call it the middle of next year onward. But between now and then, there are a couple of things you have to get right. The first thing is you need to get revenue in, because without revenue, the likelihood of you waiting for things to settle down is waiting for your business to vanish, disappear, die. Without revenue, you can't exist. The fact of the matter is that the way customers engaged with you pre-COVID is very different to the way they've engaged now. The second reason, Bruce, and this to me is one of the most significant, I've been thinking a lot about crises, because this is one crisis. Yes, it's a significant crisis. It's a big crisis. And it's a crisis that's impacted the entire world. We're all in effect sailing in the same sea. And that sea is rough and choppy and uncertain. But in every instance that there's a crisis, when you measure the response of people post the crisis, where they say, gosh, you know, the credit crunch really changed things, or the COVID really changed things. The crisis itself doesn't change things. What changes things are those businesses on the forefront of the crisis that recognize change means a change in status quo of how things are done. And when things change in their status quo, it means that customers and suppliers and your team, your entire staff, are more open to change themselves. And if you as a business owner change what you do to be more responsive and relevant to the circumstances that people are facing, the opportunity for your team to take it on, for your suppliers to back you, And for your customers to engage with you on that basis means that you yourself are leading the change that everyone then says, oh, wow, look, the crisis changed the environment. No, it's those four thoughtful, driven business owners that create the changes that we all experience after the crisis.
Always, we need to get a little bit down and dirty and a bit practical on this one. That with Pavlo in a moment.
The Money Show.
Small business.
The world is changing. Your business is changing. Your customers are changing. And unless you change and perhaps lead that change, the only change that you will notice is that you'll be out of business. That's the warning from Pavlo Fotidis at Auric Business Accelerator this evening. So give me some practical examples, please, Pavlo, of this codifying your customer value proposition, which in English means changing before it's too late.
Yeah, and Bruce, also changing in a very structured and, dare I say, data-driven way. Because, you know, I look at a conversation I had this afternoon with a business that's got a good strategy. They have been very smart around how they've managed the COVID lockdown period. And yet they were discussing with me and debating with me whether they should take up an offer that was made to them by an investor that came out of the blue. And I look at that and my big argument to them was, where is the evidence to support what this investor is offering makes sense? Because the strategy that you're following is a good strategy. This is simply a story. It's a well-spun story. It looks good on paper. But it's one person who says this is where the opportunity for your business in the future lies. And right now, with business owners who are really looking for revenue and looking for sales, almost anything that anyone suggests that should the business do things differently, they will become a customer, people are responding to. And that can lead you into a whole pot of trouble. The way that you need to do this, first off, you need to identify your 10 closest customers that you have, Bruce. And then secondly, you need to prepare a series of questions around marketing. In other words, what are those customers doing differently with regard to communications? Around selling, what sort of engagement do they want differently compared to what we had pre-COVID? Around should they transact with you? How would you fulfill your obligations? How will you hand over the products? How will you provide the service? And then especially around the economics. And if you prepare a series of three or four questions in marketing, in sales, in operations, and the economics, you get on the phone and you start phoning and engaging with those customers. And you ask the same questions consistently. What's important here is that you're not asking the questions in a flat manner. It's an engaging relationship building tone. So you don't ask closed-ended questions which have a yes or no answer. You need to ask open-ended questions saying, how has COVID, for example, changed your ability to afford the things you want? Now, that doesn't have a yes or no, but it starts to give you insight into how your customers' economics have changed. If you get through five customers, phone another five. If you get through 10, phone another five. And if you don't have any more than that, then find some new customers that you could engage with and attempt to engage with them in a relationship manner. Because if you get, for example, a sample of 20 customers and you've asked those questions consistently, it gives you a very good indication how the circumstances of your customers have changed and how you then can rebuild the systems to support marketing, to support sales, and to support fulfillment. That's the beginning process of codifying. The reason it's so important is because codifying takes an enormous amount of effort and investment from your team. And if you set people in one direction today, then in a different direction tomorrow, and so forth, eventually people lose faith in your leadership. You start to lose faith in your choices and decisions, and none of it is centered on why you exist, and that is to serve customers.
What it's kind of how do you start that conversation? Hello, I'm trying to figure out how you've changed, because depending on how you open that conversation, and if your customer is feeling quite vulnerable, they're going to feel like you're prying into them And actually what you're trying to do is better serve them into the future. And somehow the intimacy and the pre-COVID relationship, of course, is absolutely critical. But especially when you're sort of almost cold calling people saying, remember we met at a networking event 2 years ago and I said I'd give you a call. Well, now it's time for that call. It's kind of quite a difficult proposition, isn't it?
Well, Bruce, what about this? Imagine I phoned you and I said, hi, Bruce. You know, at the moment, I'm speaking to a number of authors like you to understand what lockdown has done to book sales. And I intend to figure out an alternative channel to make this happen and to make it work. I'd love to hear your thoughts. What are your experiences? So immediately in that, I'm talking to you as an author because I know who you are. I know that you're an author and I'm involved in, let's say, e-commerce, whatever the case might be. In that instance, I'm talking directly to something that's affecting and impacting your world today. It's relevant today. And thirdly, it's clear that I've gone and done some work to figure out who you are and to figure out that you have a book that needs to be sold. And I know that the environment is literally a shutdown in the retail space. Now, anyone who's an author is going to respond positively to that engagement. It's not closed-ended. You're not trying to sell anything. It's suggesting that you're looking for alternatives. It even goes further to say that if you find alternatives, there might be some value in you understanding what those alternatives are. So it's not a closed-ended engagement. If you don't know who you're phoning and you don't know why you're phoning them and you haven't done the work around understanding what will be of value to them in a conversation, you can't begin a relationship-building conversation. It's not a transaction at this stage. The transaction only happens later, much later. You need to have an open-ended conversation and you need to get that person talking.
Pablo, again, rebuilding the system of delivery. We understood the rules beforehand. They may have been cumbersome. They may have been clunky. They may have not been perfect. But kind of, you know, you put a box on a truck. It got to where it needed to get. It, you know, could have happened quicker. It's fine. Everyone was doing the same sort of thing. This is, and I used the example yesterday in terms of the Great Reset, the theme of next year's Davos conference, which is not going to happen in Davos, it's going to happen in your lounge. But they're calling it the Great Reset, and this is the time for, it's a great theme actually, it is the time of the Great Reset. It's the Great Reset of absolutely everything, including the way in which you serve that customer.
It is. You know, Bruce, if we take an example of a plumber, what would a plumber typically do? If a plumber comes to your home, they walk into your environment, they climb up into the ceiling, let's say, for example, if they're going to be fixing your geyser, they do the job and they leave. Now, that's the way it might have worked pre-COVID. But in this environment, if that plumber has gone and reset their value proposition, sure, they're still fixing the leaking geyser. Absolutely. Technically, there are very few changes to their service or to their product, or their product, in fact. But their manner of engagement with you, had they gone and done the reset, they would have heard from a number of people, oh, you know, I don't know, at this point in time, do I really want people in my home? You know, what are the safety protocols you follow with your staff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A great reset opportunity then would be, we come to your home, and the benefit is we don't walk into your home. We would enter the ceiling through your roof. We would repair the geyser. And in that process, once it's done, we would photograph it to give you evidence that it's been done properly, replace the tiles, and you have no need for anyone coming into your home during this period because we are aware of everyone's concerns. So that would be the insight into resetting how you do things differently and in a way that would be relevant to customers today. The rebuilding of the systems means that you need to train your teams to approach a customer's home in a certain manner, understand how to remove the tiles, understand how to enter the ceiling, understand how to complete the job, take a photograph, and put everything back exactly as it was found. That's where the rebuilding of the systems becomes absolutely critical, because that then sets you into a position, Bruce, where you have the opportunity to reignite. And reignition is where you look to invest in marketing. Because if you have created a different way of doing things in terms of how you market and what you communicate and where you market and where you communicate, how you then have trained your teams to follow through with the way that you have reset everything in your business in relation to what you've learned in all those engagements. You want to be in a position, once that is settled, to start investing money again in marketing. Let people know that you're out there, number one, and let them know that you do things differently to the way all the other plumbers, for example, in this case, are doing things. If you don't do the rebuild of the systems, you won't have the opportunity to ramp up your revenues on the back of a reset product and service that the market wants. And that would be criminal.
Pablo Fatidis from Auric Business Accelerator. We don't want to accuse him of being criminal, because at this point, Pablo, somehow we have to find growth. We've survived so far, and survival is the first step in this crisis. But growth, in a minute, is everything. Because if we're not growing, we will die, albeit slowly and painfully. Oh, he's gone. Oh, no. Oh, sorry. You disappeared, no, but you came back. Yeah. Now you've got 30 seconds. Go for growth.
A growth mindset doesn't mean that you slash and splash money all over the place. A growth mindset means you're constantly looking for growth. And if you're constantly looking for growth in the right places, it means you need to reset your business first, rebuild the systems in order to reignite.
Pablo Fatidis from Auric Business Accelerator, igniting on a Thursday night.